If you're looking at your watch, don't panic.
You will be out on time.
This is a very long psalm, but we're just going to look at one particular part of it. So let me read this to you first of all. This is Psalm 139, very well known and very appropriate for today, I think. It says this in God's word. You've searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where could I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord? And abhor those who are in rebellion against you. I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. So search me, God. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. There is a human instinct to make things small. There's actually a new TV show starting this evening called The Great Big Tiny Design Challenge. Have you heard of this? That's me getting breathalyzed again. Hold on a second. I'm still annoyed about it. Here we go. The Great Big Tiny Design Challenge. You can't even see tiny on that. Page. I think 9 o'clock tonight. Other programs are available. We're fascinated by things that are really big, but we're also fascinated by things that are really very small. And when it comes to God, I think we can sometimes come with this instinct to make him small. That's an all too human tendency. He can fit in this building. He can live in your heart. He's for a small part of your day or your habits. And the problem with that is that God is not small. And Psalm 139, which we just heard, can cure us of this kind of thinking. Compared to the eternal God, it is us who are small, but never insignificant. We are small, but never insignificant. Because God knows you. The singer of this song is very aware of God. God is mentioned 10 times in the first 6 verses. Here they are. You and Lord, that's all mentioning of God. Very aware of who God is. But if we look at that again, it turns out that it's actually
not us who are aware of God, but God who's aware of us. God knows us more than we know ourselves. Before you make a movement of your body, God knows it. But he doesn't just know us. He cares about us. Look at it again. I'm going to change this for us. Look at how God really knows us. He searches us. He perceives. He's familiar with you. He knows you completely. He's before us and behind us. He puts his hand on us. Do you feel how close that is? God doesn't just know about you. He knows you. And that's where we start this morning. That's very, very important. He doesn't just know us, though. He's present with us. Look at the question of the psalm. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? That carries the same message as the whole Bible. Hebrews 4, one example. Nothing in creation is hidden from God's sight. That includes you. You're a part of creation. You're a creature. Now, there might be a sense there in those questions that the psalmist here wants to escape from God, but by the end of the song, he doesn't want to. I wonder, like we were saying earlier, how many of us have wanted to try and escape God's gaze and his attention? Some people have given this psalm to David, King David, who knew what it was to sin and fail. He knew what it was to want to be away from God because of his shame. Jonah's the same. In his rebellion, what does he do? He tries to get away from God. It cannot be done. That is the big truth of this part of the Bible. We cannot escape God. And what this song does then is it encourages us to change. We're to move from this feeling of wanting to hide from God, hide our sin, to rush into his arms with the same sin, but ready for forgiveness. Look at the conclusion with me very briefly. See the change? Instead of getting away from God, the psalmist says, search me, know my heart, test me, know my anxious thoughts, see if there's any offensive way in me, and then lead me in the way everlasting. Do you see that change? Change of heart? That change, folks, is not just a feeling. It is fed by the facts that God knows you and he is with you. To put it another way, everyone in this room has to deal with God. You cannot escape him. But that's not like having to face the headmistress when you've been naughty. Yeah, were kids afraid of going to see you, Helen? Terrified, I bet. It's not that feeling. It's not sitting outside the headmistress's office knowing you've done something wrong and waiting for it. It's not that. It's not manning up and taking your licks. What is it like to rush to God? It's like going home. It's like the unfailing love of a mother or a father who always loves, always forgives. We were thinking about that last week. We maybe think of it this morning on Mother's Day as well. And in what comfort then in the way Paul expresses this to the church? Paul had his flaws. Paul had his sins, had his issues. He had a past. And what did he say about escaping God or finding God? Well, this is Romans 8. I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Do you see that feeling in what he's saying there? It's like going home. Maybe we think about the work that Kathy's involved in with Tiny Life. Little ones who arrive too early, they're not quite there yet in their development. They're not finished growing just yet. But does anyone in the room doubt the love of their mothers and fathers for them? We don't. And in that human version of love for these little ones, we see a dim picture of the magnitude of God's love for us. Think about yourself. We're not quite there yet in our development. We're not finished growing just yet, but we are loved endlessly. Where else would we rather be? Away from that love? Hiding? On the run? Or wrapped with it? What did he say? Search me, know me. If all of that is true, then it means that God rules everything and everyone. The way we see this in Psalm 139 is in the tender and mysterious moments of the womb. This is the famous part of the psalm. It's the bit you recognized. We long to be known and we long to be loved, don't we? And what does the psalmist say about God's love? You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Doesn't that sound lovely? Doesn't that warm your heart? It's pretty, it's poetic. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. When you go to the car park later, tell each other you're wonderful. That's true. That's true. It's the stuff of the cross stitch, isn't it? And the fridge magnet. And yet it's more beautiful than we can know because it's an extension of verse 8. It extends the knowing and the presence. If there was ever a place where you and I were hidden out of sight, then surely it was when you and I were prenatal. That was a long time ago for some of us. Yeah. But think about it. Even when our mums were carrying us, there was an early time when they didn't know we were there. Right? It takes a few symptoms. It takes a wee test. It takes a doctor's appointment to be sure. But God knew. God knew you were there. At the smallest scale, God was involved and creating. He was ruling. And the last thing to say about that is that his loving care is not limited to then. It's not limited to when you were little. It lasts forever because the psalmist drives on with the ultimate comfort for people like us. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. You know, we don't hear this very often, but I think it's really important to say out loud to you, the church. God doesn't give up caring. He certainly doesn't give up caring once you're here. He doesn't step aside after you're born and let someone else take over. God rules. I know we've heard that. Lots of us believe that. But it's always worth knowing that God rules. And here's something else worth knowing. That does not take away your responsibility. It's supposed to increase your faith. Don't hear that God's in charge. Well, I'll give up. Don't hear that. Increase your faith. What does the psalmist do? God's thoughts are precious. They are too big. They are more than the sand on all the beaches. Now, go back to the start with me. Does God seem small in this psalm? Is God shrinkable when we read this together? God knows you. God is with you. God rules you. And to that, friends, we can only add our prayer that the same as David's prayer, a prayer that doesn't end in frustration, but one that rushes into the arms of God. Search me, God. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. You don't need me to tell you that that's Jesus. He is the way. Shall I pray for us? Is that worth a prayer? Let's pray. Father God, we simply pray that we would be known to you, loved by you, and ruled by you. In Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.